Welcome to A Woman's Guide to Happiness, where we let our hair down and explore how we can invite more sustainable happiness into our lives. Not the fleeting happiness that comes from outside of us, but the happiness within. We're getting real and raw, and we're celebrating being gloriously flawed, because that's part of our happiness package too. I'm your host, happiness expert, Kathy Donovan. Hello there and welcome. This is season two of the podcast with a rebrand and a refresh now called A Woman's Guide to Happiness. I am your host, happiness expert, Kathy Donovan. I took a break from the podcast for a good while during the pandemic. You know, everything was topsy-turvy. We were all topsy-turvy. And in many, many ways, most of us, if not all of us, were in some manner being called to shift out some things and bring in some new ideas. And in a sense, what I like to describe it as, it's like being pushed through a keyhole. You know, when humans are asked to change something, we bristle. We don't want to change anything. We like our comfort, right? But the only way we grow as human beings is by doing that uncomfortable thing, that going through the keyhole, because it's on the other side that all the reward is. And so I took some time to reflect and really just take a look at what was the goal? What was the purpose of the podcast? What did I want to achieve? And who did I want to support? And all the things. So I've changed the title to A Woman's Guide to Happiness, because that's really what I teach, what I live, what I am. I do my best to pave the way for other women, to show them that doing things that are uncomfortable, shifting out our thinking habits, unlearning stuff is really the way we're going to feel better about ourselves. Look, we learned a lot of things that are not true. Wouldn't you agree? And in my practice, in my coaching practice, the women I meet, the women who come to my retreats, generally speaking, are at midlife and beyond. They've done everything they thought they should do to be happy. And for some of them, it works beautifully. And for others, it's just a big friggin' letdown. And they're wondering why, if they did all the things they were told they should do, they are not feeling good about themselves. They are not seeing the results they had dreamed of in their imaginations. And, you know, we have a lot to attribute to the patriarchy for the way women have shaped their lives and their behaviors and their self-image and their self-worth and all of the things. And so A Woman's Guide to Happiness really is about supporting women as we unlearn what we thought was true, so that we can learn what is true and that we can feel so good in our lives, in our bodies, as human beings, as leaders, because I always say women are the true leaders in our society and we just don't get the credit for it. But look, if you're a mom, you know, you taught your children values. You taught your children how to be a human being. I think that's what leadership is all about. So we need to take our power back. And that's another aspect of this podcast. So today is really, I want to start off in this episode one of season two of my podcast with an open love letter to my sisters in broadcasting. I was a broadcaster, radio and TV for over 40 years. I still do some work on television. And I loved it so much. I loved the work I did. But the environment is so toxic, it's ridiculous. When I worked in radio, I worked in a fantastic environment led by really amazing people who saw value in having women as part of the culture and lifted them and supported them and saw them for who they were and the value they brought to broadcasting, which is great. Excuse my cough. I'm still getting over a bug that I got, you know, a month ago. Anyway, we're getting there. So yeah, today is an open letter to my sisters in broadcasting, particularly City TV, Tracy Moore, and Meredith Shaw, who is the new host of BT Morning. I've been working with Tracy Moore for a couple of years now. I absolutely adore this woman. She is bold. She is real. She is authentic. And the folks on the team at CityLine, the producers, Sandy, who I've worked with a few times, the other producers, the individual producers for the segments, the women I've had the pleasure of working with, the men I've had a pleasure of working with at City TV in Toronto, really do light the way for some really important shifts in conversation. And they're leading the charge. Tracy is really leading the charge on so many important discussions. And I'm so proud of her and proud of her achievements and accomplishments and her leadership. And Meredith Shaw, who's the new host, co-host of BT Morning, really talking about acceptance of ourselves the way we are, sharing our gifts instead of focusing on all the ways we're not enough. Let's focus on who we are as true leaders in this society. And, you know, this movement is really about taking our power. That's what it is. We gave our power away in the past. You know, I'm 72 now, so I'm the old gal. And in my generation, we really did give a lot of our power away. But it doesn't matter your age, because women learn sort of unconsciously all kinds of behavior habits that really don't produce the result you want if what you want is to feel good about yourself. We are taught in many ways to stay small, to be quiet, to let things go, to allow people to get away with behaviors, to please, to, you know, et cetera, to do everything for everybody else. And it's really a whole pile of BS. We're all, as human beings, welcome to have our needs met if we decide that's what we're going to do. But we're all also welcome to be victims of our lives if that's what we want to do. And we're all also welcome to complain and be negative and to be unkind and to be bullies if that's what we want to do. Or we can unlearn the behaviors that brought that behavior on and choose a different route. So this is why I'm so proud of Tracy and Meredith at City TV for starting to open up. You know, Tracy did a series and she's working with Jeannie Becker on a series on aging. And I was really honored to be part of the first episode to talk about how it's really important as we age to have purpose, but it's important at every stage of life to have purpose, whatever that is. And for many women, it's being a mom, right? Being a mom feels like our divine purpose. And then once we've done what we set out to do, then what? Because we don't only get one gift in life, we have many. And I feel it is our responsibility, if we want to feel good, and if we want to really make a difference in the world, it is our responsibility to continue to open our gifts. And that's kind of what I've done. I had a gift when I was younger to be drawn into, fully committed to the world of communication. And I felt over the 40 years I was in mainstream radio and TV that I had another message bubbling up as I began to work on myself, to look at myself and all the ways in which I had been hoodwinked, all the ways in which I had been conditioned, I say conned. And so I began to undo and unlearn and then learn new ways to be. And so I want to shout out to another wonderful leader in broadcasting, Cynthia Loist from The Social on CTV. Now, I used to work for CTV back in the day, 24 years, hosting and producing on television, and I understand the pressures. I get it. I'm a short woman. I'm just under 5 feet tall, so you can imagine the teasing I received. And I even had someone come up to me at an event one day when I used to do the weather, standing in my spot, getting ready to go on the air. And a man walked up to me, stood beside me and whispered to me, "You're too short to work on TV." Now, pardon? What does a person say to that? People who watch, those of us who have been on television, feel perfectly free to judge everything about us. And that's why I always say it's more important to not give people distractions from what you're saying, because when you're on television, you want it to be the message you're delivering, not your hair, if you know what I mean, or not your stature or not your weight or what you're wearing. It really should be about the message you're delivering. But too often, you know, because again, we've been conditioned in this con job to think that people who on TV should look a certain way, right? They should look a certain way. And very often when you look at television, you see kind of a stereotype, particularly for women, of what we should look like. And I see that shifting now too, gradually, little by little by little. I'm so grateful to see it. So proud of all the change makers, all the leaders in that industry who are bold and busting stereotypes, because that's what we need. But back to Cynthia Loist. She recently talked about how she took time away from the social to look after herself because she found herself crying at everything. She found herself not being able to hold on to a thought. And, you know, she was finding this was impacting her work. And her boss said, maybe it's time you took a little time away to go and get some support and just rest and figure it out. And she was diagnosed with what they call burnout. I might call it overwhelm, as a way to really feel what that must feel like. You are overwhelmed all the time. And it was because Cynthia had to keep up with current events. She had to be mindful of every word that came out of her mouth on television, because people are going to judge you and people are going to decide whether you should be canceled or not. It is so overwhelming today. Plus, you add in social media, and people on television now have to have some sort of profile on social media to complement the work they do on TV. So it's even worse. It's way worse. So Cynthia took that time away and got some support. She was blessed to have support and therapy and a loving family. And so, you know, she's now integrating back into her job. And that's fantastic. But I bring it up because, again, another authentic conversation is taking place where she fully admits all the things that were contributing to her burnout or overwhelm. And I know that many women fed her back that they feel the same way. And it really is this idea that we do everything we thought we should do to be successful, to be happy, to achieve all the things we want in life as women. And yet, we're not enough. We can't do enough. We find ourselves in a puddle on the floor. You know, I remember reading about, I'm blanking on her name right now. Hopefully it'll come to me, but a wonderful business leader who went, go until one day she found herself in a pile on the floor beside her desk. And Arianna Huffington, I knew it would come to me. Arianna Huffington, she found herself in a pile on the floor. She had whacked her head on her desk on the way down. And she learned a great lesson from that and has become an evangelist for sleep. She wants women to get the sleep they require. You know, sleep is an essential part of what we call wellness, just being a balanced human so that you can function during the day. And I'm sure that Cynthia Loist was finding her sleep impacted by all of the stressors, all of the pressures of being in the position as a leader on television. And she is so gracious and lovely and real in sharing all the things that are happening. But I was listening to an episode of her podcast. She has a podcast with a woman named Josie. It's called Cynthia and Josie's Unmentionables. I'd recommend you check it out if you're interested. And they were talking about the experience. And, you know, Cynthia was talking about what she learned and the support she got. And she talked about the word wellness. And then she sort of said, you know, I can hear the eye roll and I was in my car driving and I went, wait, no, don't set that up. We need to normalize words like wellness, words like sustainable happiness. We need to normalize these things because these are the things and the practices that are involved in these things that are going to make us feel good, that are going to give us our power back, are going to make us feel like we are in charge, not in control so much. I don't like that word because I think it's an illusion, but that we are in charge, because the only thing we are in charge of in our lives are the thoughts we choose to think. That's it. We're not in charge of life's events, who's warring with whom. We're not in charge of who's gossiping about you or who's saying good or bad things about you. We're not in charge of any of that. We're only in charge of our thoughts and our response to what's happening in the world. And so Cynthia has been exploring, you know, practices like meditation, practices like journaling. She's going to therapy. I applaud her, like standing ovation applaud her. And for being so public about it, because it's still, you know, it's still kind of like, oh, what are we doing here? We can't talk about these quote unquote airy fairy ideas. Hardly airy fairy. This is science. This is just science. And, you know, people talk about following the science. Well, let's follow the science. Let's take a look at what we can do to shift out the overwhelm and replace it with more calm. And meditation springs to mind immediately. Because what meditation does, whatever brand of it you want to apply in your life, what meditation does is it builds a storehouse of resilience so that when the hammer falls, you can not be so reactive. You can have some sort of, you know, like you can be in charge of it, in charge of your response to it. In other words, you're not reacting from a place of stress, which goes 0 to 60, boom. You can be more calm. That's what meditation has done for me. I've been practicing meditation now for, I don't know, 25 years. My husband and I meditate just about every day. And it's maybe only 10 to 20 minutes. That's it. And over time, what I find is now when things go a little bit squirrely, I laugh at myself because honestly, you know, whereas before when I was stressed out, if my windshield wiper fell off the holder, I would have freaked out over, you know, gone into overwhelm immediately. So I really do commend Cynthia for her openness and leadership in sharing what I consider to be a very important topic for women at this time in our world. And so, you know, this idea too that, you know, Tracy and Meredith are talking about body positivity and acceptance of ourselves the way we are. Look, the only time I feel you're overweight is when you're carrying around the opinions of other people. Then you're overweight. That is not your place. Get rid of other people's opinions, get into your lane and be you. Share your gifts. Be in your lane. That is it. That's all you've got. When you're carrying other people's opinions, you're kind of in their lane, but they have their lane and they have their life lessons to learn. I thought that was such a cool analogy that the only way we're overweight is by looking at other people for validation for who we are. I've done it. I waited for years and years and years and years for validation from people who I thought were important in my life. It never came because they weren't available to give it to me. And then I started to gradually take my power back. And I realized the only person whose opinion matters is mine. Mine, that's it. And yours, because we're working together. I work together with people I teach and share my information with. And if it resonates, that's fantastic. You know, we have great conversations. Because in truth, what people are looking for today is not the superficial BS we looked for back in the day. People are looking for authenticity. They want to know who you are. They want to know your story. They want to give themselves permission to feel free to be themselves. And these women leaders are giving that permission by them being themselves. Make sense? Yeah. So I think part of the challenge of midlife is that we get to that place and we think, oh, I was supposed to do all these things, which I did. And I was supposed to get this particular result and I didn't get it. Instead, I'm going through a divorce or I'm finding myself not feeling well or whatever it is, because these are all just opportunities for us to learn something. Every life situation is really just an opportunity, asking, what do I need to learn from this? And instead of becoming the victim of something happening to us in life, if we can shift to asking ourselves, what can I learn from this? How can I use this to make myself a better person? That's when we're going to get the gold, the gift. So I think that idea of doing the right thing when we were younger, doing the right thing so that we weren't canceled, so that we, you know, could hide behind our brand or our clothing or our makeup or the perfect image we presented. That's all gone. People are not are not buying that anymore. They're buying connection. We have isolated ourselves, created a loneliness epidemic in the world because of our devices, that we're looking for some way to connect with other people. I feel so honored and blessed to work with companies. I work with two companies. One celebrates ageless living. It's called The Wellings, and it's a national 55 plus community living company. I'm their ambassador, and we talk about ageless living. We talk about different ways to look at shaping our lives in our third chapter so that we can live fully and have a wonderful time instead of feeling that we're old and useless and irrelevant. That's not true. That's just not true. You know it's not true. And then I work for another company. I recently started working with them representing petites because I'm a petite. I'm just under 5 feet, as I mentioned. And petites really have been an overlooked community, I will say, in the fashion world. And we have felt left out. And I think fashion should be fun for everybody. So I'm doing video and really celebrating what I call petite queens. And both of those experiences, those adventures, are cultivating so much, I don't know, just like connection. There's connection because we see ourselves and we feel that we're not alone. We feel that other people understand what we're going through, right? So remember that we are feeling beings. We are not just human doings. We are feeling beings. And we want to stop pretending that we don't feel things. We feel things. And I think it's important for us to understand what we feel and allow feelings, just like emotions, to come and go through us. Just feel it and let it go. Don't hold on to it as your identity. Your identity is you are a beautiful soul in a human body. That's your identity. The rest of it is just trappings. So we want to acknowledge that we do feel things and that it's okay to feel things. I want to suggest, too, that, you know, as Cynthia Loist is navigating overwhelm to move into what I call sustainable happiness, I understand the courage it takes because I did that when I was younger. And maybe for another time, I'll talk about my own personal journey, but it has been one of unlearning and learning. Unlearning all the things that I thought were true about me, which were not, 100% not, and relearning who I really am. And then sharing that with other people. And it all comes down to just a couple of ideas that I wrote about in my first book, Inspiration in Action, A Woman's Guide to Happiness. And these ideas are really, when they work together, are really what it is to be sustainably happy. Now, it's practice, right? It's practice, practice, practice. But we have to start somewhere. So we want to start giving up certain habits and replacing them with habits that are going to serve to make us feel good. So instead of people-pleasing, as an example, instead of people-pleasing, consider where you need to have a boundary in a relationship. I don't care if it's your spouse, your mother, your sister, brother, I don't care who it is, your friend, whatever, work colleague, whatever, doesn't matter. I think we should have boundaries in just about all of our relationships, frankly, so people know how far to go with us. Boundaries are our superpower. All of the principles I talk about with respect to sustainable happiness are our superpowers. I'm just mentioning boundaries today because I think it is something that we all need to implement, you know, around our time, around how much we will tolerate with in terms of disrespectful behavior or, you know, people taking advantage, whatever it is, you know how you feel in those relationships. So just to maybe start by asking yourself, where could I put a boundary in that relationship that would protect me from always feeling like that person is walking on me? And just consider that. Then I want you to focus on 5 things you're grateful for. And do that every morning when you wake up. 5 things you're grateful for. And that takes away power from what you don't have and gives power to what you do have in this moment. Because the more we acknowledge what we're grateful for, the more we're inviting into our lives, the more things we're inviting into our lives to be grateful for. I'm going to stop it here. I just wanted to check in, get this thing started, get the party started, so to speak. And I'll be back soon to talk more about sustainable happiness. And if you want to visit my website, leave me a little note. If you have some questions or topics you'd like me to explore, you want to sign up for the newsletter, it's kathydonovan.com. I look forward to seeing you here again very soon. Bye for now.